The Tom Woods Show, episode 1175.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, you know as well as I do, we are taught to display a superstitious reverence toward the U.S. presidents who look down upon you from the wall of your classroom. Well, nuts to that. Learn the real history of the presidents through my free course on the subject over at freehistorycourse.com. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here talking to Bill Ottman today about Minds.com, M-I-N-D-S.com, which is the leading free and open source community-owned social network where users are paid and rewarded for their efforts online. It's a really interesting concept. It's taking off like crazy, and I'm always interested in these alternatives to the mainstream, even though I do use the mainstream social media outlets. This one's growing really fast. It's engineered for free speech. It solves a lot of the problems that we experience on other social networks, and very, very much worth your time to check out. Bill is the co-creator of Minds.com as well as its CEO. And before I turn to Bill, one quick note. Make sure you listen all the way through after the interview portion of the program. I'm going to be telling you about a contest we're holding. And if you win, you can come on board the Contra Cruise with us for free, which is the cruise I do every year with Bob Murphy. You can set sail with us for nothing. We're giving away free passage to two lucky people. But not just lucky people. You got to be cool and awesome, and we'll show how to demonstrate your coolness and awesomeness after I'm done talking to Bill Ottman, whom I'm delighted to welcome to the show right now. Bill, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom.
Give me your 1 minute, no more than 1 minute elevator pitch for Minds.com.
Sure. So Minds is a community-owned social network and powered by cryptocurrency, open source software, privacy, transparency. We're basically taking what the major social networks are doing and inverting it and basically doing everything with a much more freedom-based foundation.
That is good. I think you maybe came in at about 30 seconds. You're good at this. All right. Can I just ask you something that a lot of laymen won't know? And it's a term that gets thrown around all the time. Can you just explain for a layman what open source means?
Sure. So open source means that the software that powers the network is completely transparent and public, and anyone can inspect it, modify it, take it, use it for their own purposes. Anyone could actually take our code and build their entirely own social network and app. But it's really important for privacy, and so that you can, not that everyone's going to go inspect the code, but that the developer community can. So like, for instance, Facebook and Google are totally proprietary. Their code is secret. We have no idea what it's actually doing to us.
All right. So tell me about how you got started. How long has it been around, and whose idea was it? Give me all the details of the formation of it.
Sure. So, I mean, we've been around. We actually formed in 2011, just went to work building the code, and that took years. We didn't really launch our out of stealth to the public until 2015. And then now we're over 1 million users and just growing quickly. Obviously, there's no shortage of issues with major social networks, crazy data scandals, surveillance, algorithm manipulation, censorship. So it's just sort of a natural movement of the internet to gravitate towards more internet freedom based platforms. And, there's a handful of emerging alternatives out there. And we've been able to, track some momentum from the mistakes of these bigger juggernauts.
It's an exciting platform, and I want to spend a good deal of time talking about it. But I have to say, I'm interested in your own story, because according to my notes here, your background educationally was in English and music. And now here you are more or less a tech entrepreneur. How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I went to school at UVM in Vermont and was not into, very against Facebook when it first started coming out. I had issues with it just from a social implication and like psychology perspective. Like, I didn't like what it was doing to people. It just seemed weird to me. And I still, it obviously has major psychological issues, and that Facebook themselves are conducting experiments to see if they can control people's moods. For instance, they did a controversial study with Princeton to see if they could make people happy or sad, and they proved that they could. And they were doing that without people's knowledge. And, you know, people just smartphone addiction and whatnot. But, and so my background was more in, I actually organized music festivals and I was a writer. And I still am, and I still love the power of crowds, which sort of drew me towards this. And I just knew that, look, the internet is, I ended up embracing the internet because I think that the internet is sort of this incredible network connecting everybody and sort of this physical manifestation of global consciousness. And it's very powerful for transforming the world in a positive way. And if you look at the top 100 networks in the world, you look at who has power, only a couple are actually coming from a perspective of internet freedom. Those would be like Wikipedia. WordPress is actually open source, but you know, Wikipedia is a totally open project. It's a top 10 site in the world. And I'm not saying that they don't have any problems, but they proved that a community-driven effort can lead to a major global network. And now it's happening with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. An open source project is you know, making a big splash. And I think the same thing is going to happen with social networking.
When you say that there are problems with some of the other social media platforms, do you have in mind anything other than what we've all seen in the headlines? Namely, there seems to be, in some cases, the suppression of particular points of view, or mm-hmm. I hate to use the word censorship because it is their platform, but nevertheless, you know what I mean when I say censorship, that some right. ideas just don't, you know, aren't allowed. And then also, as you say, there's data tracking of various sorts that they haven't maybe been as transparent about as they might be. Anything else?
I mean, what started happening, so we started actually utilizing some of the major social networks to drive traffic to mines. And the suppression of speech actually, you know, didn't 5 years ago, you know, you could drive a lot of traffic to your website through Facebook. And, you know, we had millions of followers on there and it was pretty cool. And, you know, even despite all the problems back then, we were still building the alternative back then regardless. But when they started making it so that if you had, say, 10,000 followers and you post, only 2 to 3% of those fans are even seeing your post. I mean, look, this is what social networks are supposed to be about, communicating with your community. And then when they take the ability, because their algorithms show you what they want you to see and, you know, they don't want certain articles to be seen. I mean, that is just horrendous. And when the majority of the population of Earth are using this as a tool to communicate, you know, we need something where you can reliably reach your network. And so, you know, there's a number of reasons. I think that a different type of corporate structure, I think that there's stuff with, you know, the open source model and, you know, with community voting on, you know, the evolution of the network. I think just more involvement by the and rewards for the participants of the network are essential. I mean, why the users are the ones who are bringing the energy to the network, especially the, you know, the big influencers and figures in media, and the fact that they're getting punished, they it should be the opposite. They should be getting huge rewards for the energy that they're bringing.
When it comes to censorship, isn't it a case though that at some, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but at some level you got to have some censorship, and my listeners are having a heart attack. But what I mean is, would there really be a platform creator who would turn a blind eye if a bunch of users were openly planning to bomb the Eiffel Tower, let's say? Would
sure.
you just sit back and let them do that?
Of course not. I mean, our perspective on free speech and our policy is that, look, if it's legal in the U.S. and it's not inciting violence, it's not like extreme harassment, then it's okay. And this is, you know, generally speaking, we're actually about to release a paper of dozens of empirical peer-reviewed studies that prove that censorship can actually amplify violence and extremism. And, you know, even though, yes, look, there's a lot of really harsh stuff on the internet. And, you know, I think having really good filtering tools, control over your experience, blocking, muting, And, you know, in certain cases, banning stuff. But with stuff that is just, you know, controversial, I mean, the First Amendment is only for controversial ideas. You don't need free speech protection for ideas that everybody accepts. It's for the tough ones that we need that. And if you actually look at what has happened with censorship policies, and yeah, sure, they have the legal right to do that, and those networks can do whatever they want. But when they do that, they are sweeping a big, big social problem under the rug and actually putting it on everyone else's shoulders on the internet, and they're making the more macro problem much worse. And, you know, I'll shoot you the link after the interview, but, you know, dozens of studies in universities and specifically looking at social networking behavior.
How is Minds funded? I mean, I know how Facebook is funded.
Yeah, so we did a equity crowdfunding round last year. We raised over $1 million from 1,500 members of our community. And, you know, it's not just like a typical crowdfunding where you get like a t-shirt. Like, people actually get future shares of the company. And we hope to be continuing to fund ourselves like that. And then, you know, ideally generating revenue as well. that's good. But we have this whole reward system and crypto token where, based on your contribution to the community every day, you earn a number of tokens. And those are running on the Ethereum network, which, you know, is basically the second largest cryptocurrency. And so based on the votes you receive, comments, shares, referrals you make to the network, check-ins, a number of other types of activity, you get a percentage of the daily reward pool of tokens. And then you can use those tokens to boost your posts for more views. One token will give you about 1,000 extra views right now. Or you can send the tokens to other users and crowdfund them on like monthly subscriptions or one time, like as tips. So basically, we sort of inverted the advertising model as well. So, you know, advertising is, in the sense of Facebook and Google, they're spying on everybody to advertise. So that's obviously not cool. But advertising in itself, I think, is, look, it's just promotion. I mean,
yeah,
so
I agree.
And we want people to be able to promote their work, and so that we build this in. It doesn't track you. But we also build a tool so that users can directly advertise peer-to-peer with each other. So I could send you an offer of, you know, 100 tokens, which would have some sort of, you know, dollar equivalent value, theoretically. And then you get an offer that says, hey, Bill's offering you 100 tokens to share this post. And you would get a little notification that says accept that or reject that. And if you look at, you know, how brands really want to grow, you know, sometimes you want to go to, you know, to us and say, hey, Minds, send my post to, you know, 10,000 people. And we can do that. But a lot of times it's better for the creators to directly interface because, you know the types of audiences that you want to reach, and you probably have other big influencers that you would love to get shares on their network. And so we build this tool so that, you know, not even just for big media people, for we have a lot of small creators, artists, musicians, these types of people who are, you know, sort of directly paying each other to access each other's audience. And it's because there's actually an underground economy that's existing on Instagram and Twitter and all the rest, where pages are going to each other and saying, you know, through email, they're like, hey, I'll pay you, you know, $100 if you, you know, tweet me or whatever. And so we decided to automate that to actually help creators make money.
All right. That's really great and interesting. So I'm very interested in what you're doing and in just any challenges to the big guys. Now, not to say that I don't have a presence on those platforms. I'd be crazy not to. But right. I'm pulling my hair out half the time in trying to deal with them and the constant changes and the arbitrariness of a lot of it. Describe for me what the user experience is like at Minds.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly very similar to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have mobile apps. You can go to the App Store, grab it. You know, it feels very similar. You have a status post, news feed. We have groups, you know, Messenger, encrypted Messenger. We actually made our Messenger so that we cannot even access people's conversations. Google and Facebook are scraping your conversations and analyzing it with AI so that they can target you with ads or, you know, do whatever they want. But otherwise, it feels, you know, quite similar. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it sort of easy. It has to be easy in order for mass adoption to occur. But then the big difference is you have a wallet. And that is where all of your tokens are tracked and all your payments. And you have this sort of daily earnings report and a way to send the tokens to other users. And we even see Facebook's looking at blockchain and cryptocurrency. They can't avoid it. I think that likely in the future, we're going to see all of these networks start to get into this stuff to try to stay relevant.
Bill, let me take just a minute to remind people about another online innovation that has really improved my life. Like a lot of you folks, I have way more books to read than I can ever possibly get to. And moreover, a lot of books are frankly 80% fluff and only 20% the golden nuggets I'm looking for. I don't want the fluff. Just give me the nuggets. Give me the nuggets in 15 minutes and save me the time. Well, Blinkist is the only app that takes thousands of the best-selling nonfiction books and distills them down to their most impactful elements so you can read or listen to them in under 15 minutes all on your phone. With Blinkist, you'll expand your knowledge and learn more in just 15 minutes than you can in almost any other way. Plus, you can listen anywhere. I like to listen to Blinkist when I'm returning from dropping the kids off somewhere. The Blinkist library is massive, from timeless classics like Think and Grow Rich to current bestsellers like Skin in the Game. My personal recommendation is to check out Getting Things Done by David Allen. Well, right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for the Tom Woods audience. Go to Blinkist.com/Woods to start your free trial or get 3 months off your yearly plan when you join today. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/Woods to start your free trial or get 3 months off your yearly plan. Blinkist.com/Woods. Can you describe for me exactly how it works that you would be rewarded in effect for some of what you're doing on Mines? How does that work and where's the money coming from?
So I don't know if anyone out there is familiar with Ethereum, but basically it is a general purpose blockchain where you can create tokens on top of it. So it's called an ERC-20 token. And it's really cool and interesting. It allows us to create sort of a micro economy. And we mint a certain number of tokens. We're actually about to release this whole document about our token economics, where, you know, we have a supply and, you know, a small degree of inflation and, you know, a cap supply, though, so it can't just infinitely inflate. And, you know, certain actions cause the distribution to occur. And it's just it's fascinating experiment to, you know, a number of other apps are playing with cryptocurrency, and it's interesting. You know, I mean, we were dealing with Stripe, which is for fiat, so that users could send that to each other, but we've taken that out for the moment to kind of focus on crypto because it's decentralized. You know, it's basically powered by computers all over the world, so there's no central point of failure. It can't get taken down. People have actual total control over their tokens. They're not on our servers, which is really important. And yeah, I mean, it's just sort of a wild experiment, to be honest. But as we see with Bitcoin and other emerging cryptos, it's, you know, it's sort of here to stay.
I would think there are a lot of examples of failed social networks that we never even found out about because they never really got off the ground. The key thing in trying to launch something like this, and that no doubt some people tried to discourage you with, is precisely the problem of mass adoption. It's one thing to get your friends and family to humor you by setting up accounts, but the only reason people would want to be there is if people are there. But you see, so you're caught in a vicious circle. How did you break out of that circle, do you think?
Well, it's really weird. So we're over a million users. We have a very hardcore active community. And the odd part is that even though we're a fraction of the size, small creators and medium-sized are finding it easier to gain a following of like thousands of followers on Mines than on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You'll see people who have a Twitter account for 10 years, they have 5,000 tweets and they never were able to get more than, you know, 100 followers. And, you know, obviously the virality is up to what is most popular, and that's important too. But because we have this reward system where you can boost your posts out of the void and sort of into the eyeballs of some of the community, we've built a way for people to actually be heard. And so I think that the reward system is what is going to give us a chance at growing in some orders of magnitude. And, you know, so hopefully, yeah, I mean, like you said, you're not going to necessarily leave all of the other networks right away. It's good to just supplement, and supporting these types of alternatives is what empowers them. So I think even just signing up is a sign of solidarity and very powerful. And not even just with Minds. I sort of advocate supporting this on all levels of, you know, your technology. So like on your browser, you know, are you going to use Firefox, which is fully open source, transparent, much more focused on privacy, or the Brave browser, or Safari or Chrome or, you know, Edge? Those are all spying on you. I mean, that they are, it's spyware. And so, you know, most people don't know this, and it's no fault of their own. I mean, these companies just have been totally secretive with what they're doing. But with a move like that, these micro movements on the internet are what are empowering the major corporations. So just by booting up your computer on a different operating system, if you want to be really bold, you know, use something like Debian or Ubuntu. But the browser is a great way to participate. And then the apps, you know, you have a number of companies that are just starting to be more supporting of internet freedom.
Let me just try to play devil's advocate again for Facebook in terms of one thing that annoys people, which is the feed. And really what it annoys are content creators. They think that they don't, I mean, we've heard all the things about if you have a business page or a so-called page rather than just your Facebook profile, we've seen that your posts have been severely downgraded in the feed. Right. So if you're an artist of some kind or whatever, you're really, really struggling to get your content out there, and you have to pay Facebook to boost those posts and things like that. Now, what Facebook would say, I don't know how they would justify that particular thing, except to say we want to give people what we think they want, which is stuff from their friends and family. But they would say, if we put absolutely everything in the feed, a la Twitter, everything's in the feed that every one of your friends is doing, it would be so unwieldy, and 80% of it you wouldn't care at all. We are trying to use an algorithm that will figure out what you do care about based on what you've liked in the past, interacted with in the past. We want to give you more of that as opposed to just this huge hodgepodge of crazy data that you don't care about. That's how they justify having the feed be the way it is. Mm-hmm. Is there anything wrong with that argument?
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with that argument. And look, I think as having an alternative option, different setting on the feed that you can opt into, which is more tailored based on stuff that you've interacted with, that's fine. Have that as a secondary option. But the pure default chronological feed is very important. And I actually don't know, I've not heard that from people that they don't like the full chronological feed. I mean, it's sort of insulting to the intelligence of the community that you're not able to curate your own feed. I mean, look, if someone that I subscribe to is spamming my feed, I'm going to unsubscribe from them. I have that power. I like to subscribe to organizations and individuals that I want to hear from. So, but, you know, even Twitter and Instagram and YouTube are all getting into these weird algorithms by default. And I just don't think that is okay. It's hurting creators. And, you know, you can do all your AI tailored algorithms on the side. But we're dedicated to always having the default feed be totally chronological.
Do you have a distinction between like a regular profile and say a business or professional page like they have on Facebook?
No, we are more sort of like Twitter or Instagram in that sense, where it's just, you know, you can have a page for, you know, you can make a for your brand or for the individual, and it's just one. But we also have groups, and honestly, the page and individual distinction on Facebook, it never made that much sense to me. I mean, there's like a cap for how many friends you can have on the friend page. I think it's a little bit simpler and easier for people to swallow. Just like, look, if you want to make a page, make it for yourself, make it for your company. It's all the same on Minds.
How is Minds going to be different 3 years from now than it is today?
I mean, I think that if you look at what's happening with all of the big applications, whether it's Snapchat, you know, any of them, Instagram, oddly, they're all kind of coalescing into having similar functionality. It's like, look, do you want to do a live stream? Do you want to do a status post? Do you want to do a story? You want to be in a private chat room? All of the networks are doing the same thing, and they're all competing with each other. And so we are moving in that direction, technically speaking. I mean, we're working on all of those features as well. The big difference is in more the back end, where they're all housed in a centralized server. And so we're going to pursue all of the, you know, fancy features with video and streaming and Messenger and all that kind of stuff. But on the back end, we're pursuing more of a decentralized project where peers all over the world are helping power the network, whether it's with their browser or with the blockchain or with other distributed protocols. And this is what makes it so that the network can't actually get taken down. And it also makes it so that mines doesn't even really have the ability to surveil or do a lot of the shady data practices that these big networks are doing. So I, you know, hope that we can just keep moving in that direction.
There's another independent social media platform that no doubt you're familiar with. That's Gab, gab.ai. And they also want to be a free speech platform. But in practice, and I'm on Gab and I have nothing against it and I hope it succeeds, in practice, it's where people of a particular standpoint hang out. I mean, I'm sure there are left-wing progressives on it, but that's not the sort of person who dominates Gab. And that seems to be only natural to me, because if you say, on our platform, we're going to have free speech, then a lot of people whose views are marginal, you know, from the point of view of society at large, they're not, you know, nobody in the media, for example, is in the alt-right, for instance. And not to say that Gab is entirely alt-right, but they certainly are right of center. It tends to attract a particular group of people. And I wonder, what has been the experience at Mines? Have you been able to maintain, while at the one on the one hand saying, we're seceding from the mainstream social media platforms, have you been able to bring over a lot of mainstreamy folks, or is it all folks who are kind of in one extreme or the other?
Yeah, so a few issues with Gab are, one, they're not open source. So, you know, that to me is a little bit more of the same. I appreciate the free speech stuff, but yeah, it's very polarized. I mean, even the tone coming from their leadership is pretty volatile. And I think we're definitely less polarized. I want to take the higher ground. I'm not going to, you know, sort of talk negatively. But we originally had a very diverse audience, progressives, liberals, classical liberals, libertarians, some of the more extreme on both sides. And I think that it's essential to reach out to both sides. We need to have the conversation with the willing participants from the left and the right. That's the only way that we're going to reach a critical mass. I mean, the reality is that there are liberals and there are conservatives who want to have the conversation together and coexist. And the only way that this is going to become a global network is if we have both. You can't just disqualify a whole polarity of political thought. And I think that freedom of speech, even though it does seem to be affecting more of the right recently, it does affect the left. Censorship on Facebook and Twitter affects LGBTQ communities with, you know, in terms of language, you know, maybe certain types of more mature content. Free speech is not a right-wing issue. Rational people across the spectrum want this and want to have the mature conversation.
What's been the toughest challenge you've faced with Minds?
I would say catching up to the establishment networks in regards to functionality. We're getting closer. We finally just released all new mobile apps and, you know, a whole upgraded UX on the browser. And so we're getting closer. But, you know, these companies have thousands of developers and, you know, billions of dollars of capital. We, you know, we raised $1 million and we have a small team. So that's in one sense, that's our biggest challenge. But in another sense, I'm like, wow, we, with just, you know, a small dedicated group of people in our community have somehow entered the conversation. I mean, that is in itself reassuring for me. And I think that is, if we can take it to the next level with, you know, increasing by order of magnitude our capital and our engineering team, I think that, you know, they look, if people have the decision between a network, you know, assuming they have pretty equivalent functionality, between one that respects your freedom and one that doesn't, and one that is just in the news constantly about all of their shady practices, I mean, what is the normal person going to pick? I think it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, these news stories are like a dream for you. You could issue a press release every 5 minutes.
We don't even have to do any marketing. It's just like, it's, people are naturally seeking this out.
That's really thrilling. It's amazing, again, that you've gotten up to 1 million users when that is just so hard. I bet there's got to be some magic number, who knows what it is, that once you get there, then it's just going to snowball and you've succeeded. But so many people fail to get up to whatever that magic number is and the thing peters out. So the fact that you got over that threshold and the future looks so bright for you and you have such ambitions for what you're doing is really exciting. So I'll tell you, I haven't signed up to now, but I solemnly promise that I will.
Great.
Before the week is over. I'll be up there and folks can look for me there and let's see if we can make a go of using this platform to spread the good word. Well, listen, Bill, this is tremendous. Minds.com is the website. I guess it would be superfluous to ask for any other links you'd like me to promote.
I mean, feel free to just connect with me on there, minds.com/Ottman, OTTMAN, and you know, feel free to reach out and let's keep the momentum going.
I love your optimism. I love your persona, just your overall approach to this. I mean, there are a lot of reasons to be unhappy with developments on the internet and particularly in social media. And you have no hesitation in pointing out the problems, but your emphasis is on we can build something better. And man, is that a breath of fresh air. So thanks very much for that and best of luck.
Hey, likewise. Thanks a lot for having me, Tom.
All right, definitely check out minds.com. Very, very much worth your time. But also check out the contest we're holding for the Contra Cruise. Most people listening will know what the Contra Cruise is. Bob Murphy, the economist, and I have a podcast we do every week called Contra Krugman, where we refute Paul Krugman's New York Times column. We have a lot of fun doing it. And this is the third year running that we've hosted a cruise. And the cruise is the most fun you can possibly imagine. We just cannot emphasize enough how great it is and how glad you're going to be to have gone, the friends you'll make. You'll spend time hanging out with us, doing some very, very entertaining and fun things. Anyway, how can you come on board for free? Well, we're running a contest exactly like the one we ran last year. Here are the rules. You got to be between ages, this is inclusive, 21 and 30. So you can be 21, you can be 30. So 21 and 30 inclusive. We want this to be for young folks who might not have accumulated the dough, let's say, right? The older folks, you've had a lot of time to accumulate some dough. We'll see you on board. But these folks, we want to give them a little bit of a nudge to get them onto the ship. So this includes your tips, your port charges, every fee you can imagine. So genuinely, you're not paying one dime on board. Got to get yourself to the cruise. But after that, you're not paying one dime. Just have fun with us. So how do you do? You got to be between ages 21 and 30. And you have to make a video of no more than 60 seconds promoting the Contra Krugman podcast. And at some point in that video, the website, ContraKrugman.com, has to appear. ContraKrugman.com has to be somewhere in your video. But that's it. You'll see exactly how to submit the video. Everything is explained at ContraKrugman.com/contest 2018. That's contrakrugman.com/contest2018. Last year, we had some hysterical videos done, just amazing, and we gave people only 1 week notice. This year, we're giving a little bit more notice. You have until the end of June 2018 to get your video submitted. So as soon as it strikes July, let's say Pacific time, July 1st, once it has become passed into midnight, gone into 12:01 a.m. Pacific time, July 1st, then we will cut off the submissions and make our decision, and we'll announce it on the following episode of Contra Krugman, which I hope you're listening to, by the way. That's also a really great and informative podcast over at ContraKrugman.com. So good luck, and I hope to see you on board. If you are not eligible to participate in this contest, I really hope to see you on board anyway. Check out ContraCruise.com for all the details. There's no way this isn't going to be the most memorable week of your year. That's metaphysically impossible. You know that, so go ahead and do it. We'll see you on board.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.